Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Suck, the Succession podcast. I'm Jay.
I'm Kay, and this is the calm before the storm.
It is. We are so close to the series finale of Succession. It's honestly crazy, Kay, that like we've come so far, and the show's about to end. Like it almost feels like it's not like I don't feel like I'm ready for the series to end,
even though it's going to be a full 90 minutes episode, you guys. So basically we're getting a movie. It's still not going to be enough. You know what, with this episode that just aired, we got a, well, I don't know if you did, but I saw a lot of comparing to basically The Godfather.
I think I did see that as well. And I know we're talking about this a little bit on the late side, but the funeral episode, which aired last weekend, was the episode that, you know, obviously is supposed to set up the series for the big finale. Did it feel that way watching it, Kaya? Did it feel like they're setting up the show to end within another 90-minute episode?
No, and even though it is 90 minutes, which is a movie, so in a movie you can go through literally all four seasons of Succession, like realistically. If you wanted to compress that down into a movie, it still doesn't feel like 90 minutes is enough to just wrap this up. The only way that I can see it ending is if they do in the finale a time jump. Like they have to. There's also discourse, and I want to know, do you think that they will end this show in the way that they ended The Sopranos with like an open ending? Or will they end this show in the way that they end Game of Thrones where there is a definite ending?
Damn, that is such a good question. And I haven't thought about it a lot. I think the show can end in a way that is similar to the other seasons, in that I don't think there's going to be anything huge necessarily plot-wise. Or I should actually kind of rephrase that. I wouldn't be surprised if the finale didn't have any kind of big plot twist or thing. Like, I think that the show has reached what it will be, and that I think it's going to be more of a character-driven finale. So in terms of like a Game of Thrones, like a big twist or seeing anything big and crazy happen, I think it could happen. I wouldn't be surprised though if it doesn't, if that makes sense. And I think it could be a more subtle ending where, you know, I think Kendall is going to end up as the CEO. I'll put that prediction out right now. But I wouldn't be surprised if the ending is more subtle, where Kendall's now the CEO, but you know, Shiv has a knife behind her back and is ready to go. Roman, who has groveled after this kind of funeral debacle, has some kind of other scheme cooked up with Mencken to, you know, get back into a position of power. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they end
your
it.
Prediction. Kendall
Shiv on the throne.
Ready to usurp the throne, and Roman still spiraling,
but having a more concrete plan to kind of get back. And I think that would also be that's also a satisfying ending, right? Where the show ends, and in many ways, it's very much so like any other episode of Succession, where somebody's a little bit more on top than everybody else, but the other siblings, you know, Tom, Greg, everybody still has an angle that they're trying to work. And I would be totally okay with that. Like, I don't know. Do you feel like there needs to be like a definitive like winner here?
I think I need to see who is going to run the company. And even if that is not one of the kids, I need to see who it is. Because a big rumbling I heard is that it could possibly be none of them who end up at the top. And it's someone else. It's someone on the board, or it's Tom, or it's someone that we did not expect to be at the top. Obviously, I'm a Kendall girl. I see the last episode, the funeral episode. I saw this as Roman. It's over for Roman. So it's between Shiv and Tom versus Kendall. That's what I'm seeing. And that's what I got from the last episode. I think Kendall always is going to come up on top. And then Shiv and Tom are going to, like you said, be right there in the cut. Do you see a world in which it's none of the kids? Like, it's not the kids?
I don't know. You know, the I've said many times on this pod before, like, Succession's all about what does it take to be Logan Roy? What does it take to be a killer at the top of one of these, you know, crazy multi-billion-dollar companies? What does it take? And I think that to an extent, it comes down to watching the end of the show comes down to Kendall filling that role, right? So when it comes, so at the end of the day, Kendall is the one that is going to become his father. The question is, like, where does everybody else sit? I don't know if that means that he ends up as CEO, though. I think it most likely does, but I don't know if that... I couldn't say that 100% as a prediction. But I think it will happen.
Someone, you know what someone said that I was like, oh, interesting. I would be satisfied with. Kendall ends up CEO, but he buys Pierce and he buys Gojo. He puts Shiv in charge of Gojo, and then he puts Shiv in charge of Pierce, and then he puts Roman in charge of Gojo. So that it's like, okay, all three of them are technically the successors, but Kendall is the, you know, big cojone.
Yeah. I think there's also something to be said about how last season ended, where there was that moment where they're all kind of teaming up on their father, right? Before they walk into that room and they're all kind of united. And they're in that van on the way there. And they're kind of like, okay, we take our father down and then we just fight it out over the rest. And I wouldn't be surprised also if that's the finale, right? Where, you know, all of a sudden, Jerry is positioned to actually become the CEO or something, or Madison's actually about to take over Waystar, or something else is about to happen. And the siblings kind of get in together and team up and successfully defeat, like, whoever they were trying to go up against. And the show just ends as like, okay, guys, now we'll fight it out for whoever gets the actual spot. I don't know if that would be as satisfying.
I hate that so much. Yeah,
I would hate that. Be as satisfying, but
I hate that you said it. I hate that I can see it happening.
Yeah.
I hate that it would definitely be talked about. Mm. But because I'm scared that it might happen, because Kieran Culkin said that he felt that there was more to be, you know, to happen. And he's seen the series finale. Another thing that I saw was that obviously the actor that plays Logan Roy, he said that they killed Logan too early. One, and he also felt a way about how they killed him. And I'm like, I totally understand that.
Wait, Jeremy said that?
No, the guy that plays Logan, what's his name?
Oh, Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. He said that they killed him too early. And he also felt weird about how they killed him. He was like, okay, so I get killed earlier in the season. Cool. But then I'm lying on a bathroom floor and like, that's the end of me. And I'm like, damn, that kind of hit, because it's like, you brought so much to this show. You were such a force to be reckoned with. And you went out like that. And even though that ending was powerful and it could be like realistic, if you want to argue that, like, it's still understandable why he feels a weird way about it. Because I will say, although it has been really good, each episode after, I will be honest and say that I've missed that presence of Logan.
Interesting.
I miss Logan. Like, have you sat back and have you thought about, like, damn, I kind of miss that force.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I think in an interview that I was reading, Jesse Armstrong, the creator of Succession, you know, said that, I don't know if he said it or if it was an observation from somebody else, but Succession does this really interesting thing where they put themselves in challenging positions, especially this last season, where it's almost like it's such a good show that they have to do these things that are just really hard. Like for example, you know, towards the end of the episode where Logan dies, you know, all that was done in like one take. Like they did the entire scene on that boat in one take, just to just see like, you know, how it would play out. So they did it almost like a one act play. And it turned out that one take that they did was actually what they ended up using for that episode as well. So the show with this final season has been doing these interesting things where they put the cast in really challenging positions creatively and then watch them kind of overcome it and bloom through it. And I think having Logan die earlier in the season is a perfect example. Because if you look at like a classic HBO type show, yeah, the final season, you know, Logan would probably traditionally die in the second to last episode. And the last episode is them kind of trying to pick up the pieces. I think it's a much more interesting and challenging service to the story creatively to have him die earlier. And, you know, you said, you know, on the bathroom floor, like, is that really like the way they want to see him go out? But I think that that just adds to it even more. Like, it's not this like triumphant, you know, death where he's struggling, you know, on the floor of like a hotel room to like make the call to Matheson to close the deal to do it. Like, we've seen that, you know what I mean? Like, we've seen that in dramas. And I think it's just a much more interesting and challenging and different at the end of the day route to go creatively to, yeah, third episode of the final season. You know, we already knew that his health was like not great in previous seasons. So he dies on a plane going to Sweden. And that's all that there is. And I thought that episode was so brilliant in the way they shot it and the way they kind of went back and forth with between Tom and the kids and all this other stuff. And, you know, yeah, I do think his presence is missed. I do think maybe Brian Cox, you know, wishes he was more in the final season just from like a pure acting, like being part of it all standpoint. Totally understand that. But I don't know. There's something about watching these last couple episodes where it feels like Succession is now going to a place that's so different and so unique than it ever has before.
For sure. I think we talked about that right after he died. I'm like, okay, that is kind of genius that they did it the third episode because it's unusual and then the way that they died. But then I also said, let's see if they can afford to do that. And how does it affect the show? And I would be remiss not to say that I'm like, okay, this is kind of, this definitely like really, I don't think it slowed it down, but I don't know. Like I'm something there that was there before that is missing.
Yeah.
And it's not just his presence, but it's also the plot. Like they're spinning so much and I'm just like, okay, so when are we going to get to it? You know what I mean?
Right. It's almost like Logan was like this kind of like queen bee character that all of the siblings swarmed around him. And now that he's dead, the show definitely does kind of have like a free fall kind of energy to it. Not in a bad way at all. It's just, there's a little bit more, I feel like the pace has gotten a lot faster and things are kind of bouncing back and forth in a way that the show hasn't done before, but I'm not necessarily,
I think it's like, where is it going?
Right.
Is what I'm trying to see. And then I think that what would have done it for me, I feel like geniusly, is if they did the death episode and then they did the funeral instead of waiting for the funeral. I don't know. Like the funeral being the fucking ninth episode is a lot, you know, like this should have been out of the way and they should be like trying to figure out who's going to take over this company. But anyways, speaking of the funeral, let's talk about that funeral.
Yeah.
Obviously Roman was supposed to give the big speech. He was practicing in his room. He had everything down pat. He thought he was going to be big boss, all that shit. And when it came down to it, Ewan, you know, Logan's brother, got up and he was like, actually, I'm going to talk. And Greg tried to stop him from talking. And he gave an interesting speech. And I think that speech was something that we needed to fucking hear, because that was, one, his brother, and two, he didn't tell no lies. I think that that may have also contributed to Roman fucking up. Because when you have it in your head, like, okay, I have this down pat, I'm going up first, I know what I'm going to say, I can get through this. But then you have someone who literally intercepted that, said some things different, you don't know which way, you don't know how to like clean that up. At the same time, it hits you that your father is actually dead because you haven't taken any time to grieve. That is what made him crack.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that it was also a combination of, well, one of my favorite things about that episode was that you only see little pieces of Roman's speech when he's practicing in the mirror, but you never, and it's assumed, right? Like the audience can infer that it was a very positive speech about his father, and that when Ewan kind of gave that more realistic, you know, even negative speech about Logan, there was something in Roman that was like, oh no, like he's telling the truth, you know? And I think that also had to do with him breaking down, where it's like, oh, like someone's really actually speaking truth to Logan as a father who is terrible to me. And I was about to just go up there and like fluff him up essentially. And I think that was something that also kind of like broke in Roman's mind of, oh my God, like not only is Logan's brother telling the truth here, but my father's dead. And it, I think it finally kind of hits and hits him. Do you think that everyone's kind of responses were justified? Because, you know, Jerry, Frank, and Carl definitely later in that episode were watching him break down and cry again on camera and were laughing.
Jerry!
Mencken, President Mencken was, you know, oh, you know, like made fun of him at the party. Like, oh, you were crying, little boy cried or whatever. Like, what was your feeling watching
was that
all
his
that?
Exact words, Jay?
I think little so. Boy, like he was like, little boy, cried. Little boy had a cry.
Little boy cried.
Little boy had a little cry.
I'm screaming. I personally didn't understand. Okay, one, I want to say I expected Roman to crack, and I knew he was going to crack at his funeral. So I didn't think, because this is the thing, when you do not grieve someone, you crack at the most fucked up times. So he did not grieve Logan. He made all these jokes, even when Shib told them that she was pregnant, he was still making these jokes. When they rode in his body, he was still making these jokes. He never grieved. So I felt like even if Ewan didn't come up there and make that speech, which contributed to it, he would have cracked regardless, because once you see a casket and it's closed, you realize that death is final. You will never see that person again. And you have to talk to this entire church full of like the most important people in the world, and your dad is fucking dead. So one, I knew that he was going to crack, but two, for me, I didn't think that that was going to be something that would contribute to people not respecting him. I just thought it was just like, oh my God, you know, like people would have a heart. But again, what we're dealing with is like corporate, you can't show any kind of fucking weakness. So that was a shock to me. And again, like I said, Kendall has this way of being able to, in the worst moments of his most worst moments and other people's worst moments, of being able to just straighten himself up and get to it. Like he
has
Logan.
That, yeah, he has that Logan energy. And I think it's a great example. I mean, it was a great demonstration of each of their characters. I think this was an interesting way to show Roman finally getting what was kind of always coming to him, and the way that he would dig and make the most inappropriate jokes, especially to even like Shiv on the car there when she tells him that, you know, she's pregnant, and he just goes off about
right.
you know,
it's like, is it mine?
Rewatch the scene if you want. But he always is the guy that's always digging in on when they're down. And then whenever anyone tries to kind of dish it back to him, he like looks at his phone or he walks away, or like, he's the ultimate, like, just, you know,
doesn't deal with his feelings.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to deal with his feelings. And it's interesting to see all of that, this over the past couple seasons. And then, oh, finally he breaks down at his father's funeral, and now everybody can just pile on to him in one way or another. And having like the future president, like, you know, crap on you in that way, I think it's the ultimate justice. I feel like that Roman has
especially
been
after you were the one who made the call.
Exactly.
I would get up and be like, actually, you know what? And I would have everyone here. Guess what? He didn't actually win.
Yep.
I'm the one who made the call for him to win. Now that we have everyone here, since y'all want to laugh at me crying.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you see Kendall then take over the role of actually giving the speech, where, again, we see Kendall kind of reach new heights. There was something about that speech that he gave that was both so authentic and very much so gave off the energy of like, okay, I got this. And I think this was the first moment of the show where we really see Kendall becoming Logan. And then after that, right, he's, you know, he's talking to the PR guy, right, just kind of start getting some like threads out there of like trying to tank the deal. Like, he's starting to take that more aggressive
Hugo.
Hugo. Sorry. Yeah. He goes to Hugo immediately after, and he's like, you're going to be my dog now.
When he's like, you're going to be my dog and you'll get crumbs, right, but the crumbs will be millions. And I'm like, what a lot.
Exactly. And we even see him treating Roman at the end of the episode as if as Logan would have treated Roman after something like that. Like, it's no longer like just kind of crapping on Roman from Kendall. Kendall's like, no, like, you actually messed this up. Like, you actually, like, you really,
you
did.
Fucked it.
You fucked it horribly up there. And now you've lost the chance to like be in the big leagues. Now you're working for me, Roman. Like, that was very much so the vibe that I got. Like you're now like back down to like lieutenant. I'm the general.
He even says, he's like, you know, you fucked it, but it's okay.
Right. Yeah. He's like, cause I'll fix it. And who always would say that?
Logan.
Exactly. So we're seeing these things. And that's why, like, going into the finale, like, I want to see Kendall as the killer that he was always meant to be. Like, that's what I want to see in the finale.
And there are also like things that, okay, but do we think that he can be Logan, but he's also going to change something, like have a little bit more humanity? Or do we think that all of his humanity is gone because of the things that happen right before the funeral? Like, for example, his wife taking his kids upstate instead of going to the funeral.
Yeah.
And then Jesse quitting, which was like,
oh my
that
God,
was,
what a scene.
That was a scene. And that was also, I felt like that was the first time that he saw her like as a woman of color. And like, he realized like what he's done right after his wife took his kids upstate, who, you know, his kid is a person of color, and like what he fucking did, who he made president, and all the chaos that's going on.
Yeah.
It was such a powerful scene that I'm like, okay, did that affect him to the point where he wants to change things a little bit? Or did it affect him to the point where, okay, well, fuck it, I don't have my kids, Jesse fucking quit, I don't, my brother fucked everything up, so I need to clean this up, so I don't have time to have humanity anymore, I need to just be a cold-hearted, like,
yeah,
I need to be the exact replica of my father.
I think, knowing the show, it's going to be what you just said. There's no humanity here. But I think you do make a good point in that, you know, it comes back to, okay, what does it take to be Logan? And it even goes back to the story that his brother said, where Logan felt responsible for the death of his sister when they were children. He thought that he brought home this disease. And I think there's an element to Kendall's character in this second to last episode where, okay, what does it take to be Logan Roy? Well, all of this destruction personally to Kendall, right? All of this destruction, all his back is against the wall. He has no other choice than to become his father. And I think throughout the show, there's been these moments where Kendall wants to be better than his father. He wants to have that humanity, as you just shared. But I think the second to last episode really showed, no, there's no other path for Kendall. But he's realizing it, right? And he's realizing it now too. He has no family. You know, his family's essentially left him. His assistant that's been there for him is trying to get out. Everyone's trying to, you know, turn their back on him. All that he has left is that part of him inside him that is his father, and to fight and to claw his way to the top. And I think that whole setup is so, so brilliant in that, again, what does it take to be Logan Roy? Well, there's that killer instinct. There's the strategy side. There's that, all those things that Kendall kind of has, but there's that other underlying thing where personally you have to have nothing left. And Kendall's always had something personally, you know, there, whether it was his family, whether it was a relationship with his siblings, all of that is gone. And now it's just, you know, I think there is an element of like the, you know, we talked about Game of Thrones at the beginning of this podcast. I think there is an element of him being Daenerys on the dragon in the second to last episode, just burning everything to the ground. I think we may see some of that in the finale from Kendall.
Oh my God. Shaking, crying, throwing up.
Yes.
And I can't wait.
This leads to something else that I wanted to talk about, Kay. I was thinking about it a lot after the episode, and that's, what is the legacy of this show? What is the legacy of Succession? How does Succession kind of live in popular culture 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And I want to get into this more once the show actually finishes after the finale, but just listening to the way that Kendall gives that speech, like the way the actual prose comes out, I was like, this is the Shakespeare of our time. I don't know if that's like such a, if that's too bold of a thing to say.
No, but that's what I wanted to say, is that we saw Kendall, we saw Logan, but then we also saw Jeremy, who has his background in theater. And I felt that that speech was very much like a theater speech.
Yes. Yeah. But I do think there's an element of Succession as well that is very much so skewering American culture and politics at this very moment, the year of 2023. And the years that this show came out as well, I think encapsulates the past couple years of America as the world sees America and as America sees itself. And I think that will have threads to the legacy of this show. Like, I would not be surprised if 50, 70, 100 years from now, there's a whole study in schools around this show of, this was America in, you know, 2020 to 2023. You know what I mean? Like, this was what America was about. These massive, powerful corporations that, you know, were run by these families that, I mean, it's, you know, it even has threads back to like the, what was it, like the oil barons of like the 1800s. Not that I'm like an expert in American history in any way, in any shape or form, but you know, there used to be these like and then all the like anti-monopoly laws and all this other stuff from that time, where like only a couple families owned all of the railroads in America. Like, we're back at that, right? And I think this show skewers it and covers it in a really, really deep, interesting way.
Exactly that. And that's what's going to be the legacy of it, because they're going to have to study this in, because you know, people in media, they really love this show because it's crazy how it can be a comedy, but then it's also showing us exactly what's really going on. Mm-hmm. It's like, are they making fun of us, but they're holding a mirror up to us? And even in the show, they mention as a joke, even, I think it's Mattson's character, it's like, oh, America has even only been a democracy for like what, 50 years now? And he's like, not in, even if you don't count black people, it's just like, yo, they are fucking roasting the hell out of us, but also telling the truth. And it's so true to like things that, like you said, just to repeat what you said, we witnessed this firsthand and they were looking at it on TV, but we're not the only ones who's watching this show. People around the world are watching this show. And are they like, this is exactly what I think of America? Or are they just like, oh, this is just a show? To put it up there with prestige TV, like the fact that it's already being mentioned among Sopranos, Game of Thrones, The Wire, it shows, it already shows that it's one of the greatest shows in general of all time. And I saw someone who, I think it was a tweet of someone who doesn't even watch the show, but it tells you how powerful it is from someone from the outside who's like, I can't wait until Succession is over because I don't understand why a show where people where people who are making phone calls and texting all the time makes so much like noise amongst my peers. And I'm just like, you don't understand. If you watch it, you would get it. And it's so funny because I would never in my life, like, the only reason that I watched this show is because of quarantine. That's how I got into it. Like, I didn't watch the show from day one. I didn't really understand it when I was watching it in quarantine. I didn't really like it until the end of the second season, where Kendall, again, you think that he's going to go and he's going to eat shit in this speech. And then you hear him say, but, and then it's just like chaos ensues. And I'm just like, that is Succession.
Yeah.
Like, it's always just like, okay, these people are always on their phones. They're making inappropriate jokes. Deals are happening that we don't even understand. And you don't even have to understand what's going on to know that shit is going down. That's the craziest part of it.
And it's so character driven too. Like the idea of that someone like a Logan Roy could even exist and be
to have that
about.
Much power. And it kind of like, for me personally, I didn't understand how, like, okay, millionaires I get, but billionaires, like, to the point where it's like these people are billionaires, they don't care who the president is, because at the end of the day they're always going to be billionaires. Right. Like, they're always going to like have that money to pass down. They are not in touch with anything. So it just like really opened that up to, you know, what being a legacy family member is, how stocks work, how you can manipulate the stocks, how important stocks are, how important the board is, like how media affects more than just like, I mean, when I think of media, I always thought, okay, TV shows, whatever, you know, news, whatever. But like, I never thought that, you know, news and shit like that could actually manipulate the way that the world works in general. Like, what,
or even
is
social
said,
media.
Yeah. What is said online, what is said on news shows actually has an effect, a huge effect on everyday life.
Right. And not just on culture, on progress, on every, on everyday life. And it's just so interesting that this show is able to do so much, you know, and have such a big impact across all these different aspects of culture, of life, of the idea of character, creativity, television. It's interesting. It's something interesting. And I think we should get more into it maybe next episode after the finale, or maybe we can even do a separate episode about what is the legacy of Succession. But I did just want to touch on that as a, as something that we could come back to and something that we can talk about.
Something for you guys to also ponder.
Yeah. Food for thought. And I think that actually is one of the best things about the show, is like, there is so much to kind of sit back and think about. You know, what's the point that the show is trying to make? What's the point that these characters are trying to get across? And how does this piece of art imitate, reflect, skewer everyday life?
And how it makes you feel about yourself. Because why am I sympathizing with billionaires who literally don't care if I live or die.
Right.
Yeah, I do. Every day I think about Kindle.
Amazing. Amazing.
Every day.
You know, what you just said made me think of that last scene of last episode, or two episodes ago, where, you know, the, after the election, or we know, I think it was the end of last episode when Roman goes out into the street.
Yeah, that's in the last episode.
Yeah, when Roman goes out into the street amongst the crowd, and it's like, you finally see one of these people come down to earth, right?
Yep.
And he's amongst the protesters, and he's getting stomped on, and, you know, kind of looking out into the abyss.
And but I think he likes it. He's a little freak.
Well, I think it's also more than just that too. It's like, here's this character that's like gone off the edge into the unknown. I don't even know how I feel about that, the end of that scene. Like, there's so many layers to like watching Roman just kind of like out into the streets, and like it did very much so feel like he was kind of jumping into the unknown. But I don't know, like, exactly what that means, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was confusing to me. I feel like he jumped into it, but, like, again, like a billionaire, he will always be okay. It'll be okay.
So you're saying that scene was, like, very much so, like, yes, he's, like, even though he's at the lowest he's ever been, he's getting trampled in a crowd.
Yeah.
He's still wearing the nice suit. He's still, yeah. It's
he's
not
still gonna be better than me on my best day. Even like, I can live my whole life.
Same.
I can reach the height that I want to go to, which is just mediocre heights. Like, I'm asking for the bare minimum, God, please. I can live my whole life, but Roman in that moment is still eons above what I would ever be. Even if I put my hardest into it, because he was born into it. And like, that's his life. Even if it was Shiv out there, who I can relate to more, other than the fact that she's pregnant, like, even if she was the one who was getting trampled and stomped on, at the end of the day, she would still be better off than me, who's safe in my home right now. And that's what it is. But I think that I only saw it as just like Roman being like, he doesn't have Logan there to kind of like berate him, slap him around. He is like, I don't know if is it a masochist, a hedonist?
He's unmoored.
Whatever that word is.
He's no longer tethered to anything.
Yeah. So he needs to feel something. So he's out there and he wants people to like beat him up. But at the end of the day, he's going to be okay. Like, no one is going to kill him, and he's fine.
Yeah. It was kind of a dark ending, in my opinion.
Very dark.
Yeah, very dark.
Very dark. I'm very depressing. Worried about Roman. I'm very worried about... But okay, so then the last thing I want to know, though, not only Roman, I want to know what you think about people who are worried about Tom, because they keep talking about how Tom said that he was tired. I didn't think anything of it. But some people are saying, is Tom going to be found dead at the apartment? Is Tom going to unalive himself? Is Tom actually having a plan with Mattson? And he's going to pop up with Mattson?
That's a more believable theory.
I feel like that's more, yeah. Some people are like, oh, I'm worried about Tom. I'm worried about
Tom. I don't know how Tom ends the series. I mean, I think that, you know, there could be a moment in the finale where him and Shiv make up and they're kind of together as a team facing who knows what. I think he could backstab everybody just like he did in the end of last season by joining forces with Logan. And I could also see Tom just getting fired and, you know, we see him interviewing somewhere, you know, for another executive job. And the lesson is that, you know, there's these people out there like Tom that just want to climb power and will kind of always seek it, even if they'll never actually be successful with it. But I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I think we'll have to wait until obviously the finale. And I think we should also do in our next episode, Kaya, just like a roundup of like, where do all these characters end? Like, how did all of these characters end after the finale? Like, what's the state of each of them as the series ends. But
yeah,
it's interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how the show ends. As always, thank you guys for listening, for following along. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we're getting close. We're getting close to the end of Succession. I can't believe I'm saying that.
The end of it, not just the end of the season, the end of the series. So ponder
yes.
what we just said. Make sure you have all your popcorn and everything ready at 9 p.m. so no one can spoil that shit
100%.
for you. I'm telling you guys, everyone, get your asses in your couches or in your beds or wherever the hell you watch it at 9 p.m. and we will watch this together and we'll write it out together and we'll talk to you soon.